Almost 2% of high school students said they identify as transgender. That's according to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Among those students who identify as transgender, few play high school sports. And when they do, they face obstacles, from being forced to compete with the gender they don't identify with to questions of fairness when they do. These issues played out recently in South Dakota. Last month, the legislature narrowly defeated a bill that would have forced high school athletes to play sports with the gender they were assigned at birth. It's an issue that's been taking hold in states across the country. Katie Barnes is a writer and reporter for ESPNW, and they told me there's no federal policy that covers high school athletes who are transgender.
Each state has its own policies, and there are 17 states, including the District of Columbia, that have policies that lean towards transgender inclusion, so do not require any level of legal or medical intervention. There's about 20 states that have some sort of case-by-case basis or a hormone wait period for transgender girls or some combination thereof. There are 5 states that do not have any policy at all, and then there are 9 states that have restrictive policies, meaning that they require either some sort of medical intervention in the form of surgery or some sort of legal intervention in the terms of changing a birth certificate or something like that.
So let's take a look again at 2 cases that were big in the news. There were, and these are 2 stories that you actually followed. One was a trans boy in Texas who was forced to wrestle with girls. What happened in that experience?
It was a confluence of issues that was really unique to Texas in many ways. So Texas is one of only 6 states at the time, and now 7 states, that actually has a separate sanctioned event for girls wrestling. Many states, the majority of the states in the country, have just wrestling. And then in February of 2016, a policy was put on the ballot for the superintendents in the state to vote on that would basically codify a policy that would establish gender as being determined by birth certificate. And so what that means is that if you are 14, 15 years old, whatever the sex is that's on your birth certificate determines what sport you play in. And so for Mac Beggs, who identifies as a boy, was assigned female at birth and had begun a medical transition because of Texas rules and policies, was forced to wrestle in the girls category.
What is that experience like for a trans boy?
It's really challenging. You know, constantly you are either assumed to be a part of that gender or you feel differently. And so there's just not that affirmation of being able to compete with and against people who identify the same way that you do and have that gender and sense of self consistently affirmed on a regular basis.
And Katie, I'm wondering if you could help me understand the bigger goal here. Would the goal be, because I think what's interesting is you mentioned that some states, for example, with wrestling, there's single-sex wrestling, male girls and boys, and in other states, that's not the case. Is the goal ultimately to have sports in school that are not defined by any gender whatsoever, where boys, girls, or however someone identifies does not impact what type of team they're allowed to play on?
I think those are 2 separate issues. There's one that's about inclusion in terms of how we delineate what teams people play on. Mm-hmm. And then there's another question about the nature of sport itself. And sport is designed to be a binary. We have boys and we have girls, we have men's, we have women's. And increasingly, culturally, we're not understanding gender to be a binary. And we also know that biological sex is not a binary. Both of those things are spectrums. And so we are seeing an increasing number of students who are identifying as transgender younger. The CDC released a report last month that said that about 1.7% of teenagers were identifying as trans. And that includes binary transgender identities, meaning transgender boys and transgender girls, but also non-binary identities and gender non-conforming identities. And how we include those kids in sport is an open question. And so I don't think it's my place to say whether the right way to go is to get rid of sex categories completely for sport. I don't really believe in that. I write about women's sports almost exclusively, and I really enjoy that work and believe very strongly in that work. But I do think that we are coming, you know, up on a time when we're going to have to re-examine the system that has been created and who it was created for, and if there is a better system that's more inclusive for all kids, and what that looks like at, you know, the youth level, the high school level, the college level, and the elite level. Those are all things that I think are going to have to be sorted out in the coming decades.
And there was another story in the news, a trans girl named Andrea, who's a runner in Connecticut. And she runs with other girls. What made that so newsworthy?
Well, she won. That's what made it newsworthy. Andrea, as a freshman, won the state championship in her class in the 100 meter and the 200 meter in outdoor. And then again in that same class as for the 55 meter and indoor during her sophomore season. And then, of course, another transgender girl also came out and started to run in Connecticut and began winning championships. And so together, the two of them have really been in the spotlight in both positive and negative ways.
And when you say that the negative ways they have been in the spotlight, is it because people think there's some sort of unfair advantage that they have? Like, what's the backlash about?
Undoubtedly. People mm-hmm. think that they have an unfair advantage. Connecticut is one of those states that does not require any sort of medical or legal intervention for transgender kids to participate with the gender that they want to. And so there are folks that say, well, because, you know, they're making assumptions about these kids' medical status, but they say that because they haven't gone through medical intervention or any kind of hormone therapy, there's an unfair advantage and they are, quote unquote, still biological men. And there's a lot of problems with that rhetoric in general, but that has been largely what the two of them have been facing every time they win a championship. And it's certainly been very tough on the two of them. I speak with Andrea every once in a while, and, you know, I know that there's been an uptick in just sort of kind of hate mail to the athletic association, surely, that each of those kids are facing that as well, since their names are in the press. And so that really seems to be what the uproar is.
And also another interesting detail here is that LGBT youth and particularly trans youth are less likely just generally to participate in sports. Why is that?
Well, sport is a site of pain and trauma for a number of LGBTQ people. It's not a place that has historically been friendly to people who identify as LGBTQ, especially transgender folks. For a number of reasons, including what I said earlier about the system designed to be a binary. And if you don't fit that binary, that can feel very exclusive. And so there are already all of these barriers, both cultural and from a policy perspective, put in place that make it very challenging for LGBTQ people to participate. And so their participation numbers are already really low. And then when trans youth in particular are successful, they're often demonized very publicly. And that happened with Mac Beggs. It has happened with Andrea Yearwood and Terry Miller. And for the next person who is successful, that will also probably happen with them as well. I've never seen a situation where a transgender kid who's in high school wins a championship or is athletically successful being met with positive applause. There is almost always a dark side to that, if not a predominantly negative side to that for those kids. And it's because they are often derided as being cheaters or as having an unfair advantage. And it's really tough. And so every time that happens publicly, another kid who identifies similarly may think twice about whether or not they want to come out or whether or not they want to even play sports to begin with.
Katie, thanks for being with us on The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
Katie Barnes is a writer and reporter for ESPNW. They're also an executive producer on Mac Wrestles, a documentary that premiered over the weekend at South by Southwest about Mac Beggs, a transgender high school wrestler in Texas. And now we're asking our transgender listeners, did you play sports in high school? And if so, what was your experience like?
Hi, my name is Cage. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon. I'm a queer trans man. And so when I was a kid, I was picked on and bullied and teased mercilessly for not fitting into what all the other girls looked like. And sports was where I found my refuge. It was where I could run out all my frustration and all my anger and find my identity. And it was really what saved me. Now I'm a coach, and I think there should be far more opportunities for kids to explore and express their gender as athletes and not be pinned in by the very strict binary of male and female expectations in sports.
This is Silas. I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky. I'm a 25-year-old trans man. I only started my medical transitions about 7 months ago, so I've lived much of my life as the sex that was assigned to me at birth. I was a high school athlete and played several sports for a Christian school that is a part of the KCAA, which is the Kentucky Christian Athletic Association. Due to the fact that I grew up in a highly religious household, I was not permitted to express my true gender. Playing sports was never an issue for me because I never ruffled any feathers by trying to present as male or play on any male teams. I always wanted to play with the other boys, and I feel like I was deprived of an opportunity which I had a right to pursue. I hope that trans kids in the future are given a choice as to which sports teams they play on. Nobody should ever be forced into a role which they do not fit.
Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.